Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Welcome to Vampire Hype, episode 35. Today, you guys have me, Kyle, and also Kristen and Pamela. Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
That was an awkward hello. Hello.
Hello. today, hello.
Oh, hello. Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, today we're going to discuss a couple of differences between the Vampire Diaries books and the Vampire Diaries television show, as well as a couple of news things before the show finally comes back this coming week on October 3rd. I'm so excited. It's going to be
woo-hoo!
Great.
And the originals.
Oh, and the originals. Oh, my goodness. So many.
Both
so
on
many
Thursday.
Vampires.
It's going to be an amazing Thursday.
Oh, my God. It's a double fun. 2 hours of awesome.
Oh,
it's
gonna
be
I'm so excited. It's going to be
yes,
great.
Yes, yes, yes. Ah, I'm so geeked.
Okay, so what had happened was, for the past couple of months, actually, I've been like, we should read the book so we, like, can do an episode about the differences, and, like, I've tried to pick it up, and then I keep putting it down, and then I think no one else in the group has read it because they're so bad. So, like, what about you guys? What did you guys think of when you tried to read the books? I know you guys tried.
Yeah, I've read about 10 pages of the first book before I finally was like, okay, I can't do this. And it was basically just Elena's blonde and really, like, vain and mean. And I was like, okay, I can't handle this. I like my Elena nice and brunette and, like, sweet. And I just couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the same boat as Kristen. And if I would have gotten into them, it would have been the perfect time to have done it when I first picked up the books. I picked them up in high school because everyone's like, oh, this is really good and blah, blah, blah. But like Kristen, I just couldn't get past Elena being so bitchy. And it was just like, everything was like, oh, like, so, like, like this handsome stranger, like, he doesn't know me, but he'll pay attention to me because I'm so beautiful and, yeah, like, everyone wants me and, like, look how hot I am and he has to like me because I'm the best. I'm just like, I do not want to read a book that has, like, 400 pages of this in it, so no thanks.
Yeah, if she's so entitled in the novels, like, oh, I've never not gotten a guy, I have to get this one, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and isn't Bonnie a redhead?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
so
Jeremy doesn't exist, and it makes me sad. So it's, I was just like,
no, right?
It's crazy. So here,
too many differences.
I wrote out a list of things about what's different and, like, kind of, like, the biggest differences that are different in the show. And obviously, there are, like, a few similarities between the books and the show, granted. And there's this one tidbit that I'm going to tell you guys that will make the pilot episode make so much sense. Like your minds will be blown.
Ooh, intrigue.
So, and I haven't told, for anyone who's listening, I haven't told Kristen or Pamela what the differences are yet, so you're going to hear their authentic reactions as to exactly what's happening in the books. So,
yeah, we weren't even allowed to, like, peek beforehand.
Yeah.
Like,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did not peek at the dock. Here is our,
right,
like, solemn
we were not allowed. We were under strict orders not to look.
We got it. We got all caps messages, people, okay? Trust me.
It's practically like I compelled them not to look. I mean, really.
You really did.
But
from far away.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to make a reference to a thing in the book, but I can't yet. Goodness. Okay. So, the town that everyone lives in the books, is called Fell's Church. I think it's set in Virginia, but it's not Mystic Falls. So, the entire town is called Fell's Church, which is a little confusing, because she was like, I was born here in Fell's Church. I'm like, you were born in a church? Okay. And
like, wait, what?
Yeah, right? And so, the basis for this book, Elena actually doesn't have a brother. Jeremy doesn't exist, but she has a younger 5-year-old sister named Margaret, who talks, like, every so often. And they live with their aunt, Judith. So, like, sibling kind of living situation is kind of the same. And as we previously told you guys, Elena's blonde, and she's the queen of the school. Like, everyone adores her and follows her everywhere, and, like, she hasn't been back for a while, and so it's the first day of school, and everyone goes to meet Elena in the parking lot. They're like, oh my god, Elena, I love you. You look so good. Oh my goodness. And it's like, it's creepy. And Bonnie is a short, white, redheaded girl whose ancestors were actually druids. So she is a witch, but it's a different kind of mythology type thing. And she actually has an older sister that plays a part in the novel, which is interesting. So, but Bonnie in the books has a lot to do with, like, the storyline, and a lot more than what I feel like Bonnie has to do in the TV show, almost. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like,
that's too bad.
I know.
The show would be so much better if she had more to do. You know, like, it's, like, hit and miss with her. I think we've talked about this so many times, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, either she has, like, a great story arc, and everyone's like, yeah, Bonnie, this is the Bonnie I want to see. Or she's just kind of there, and we're just like, why are you here? What are you doing?
And I think that's been viewers' biggest, like, complaint about Bonnie, is that she was kind of underused in the first couple seasons, and now she's just a trope. Like, she's just, oh, we need to fix something. Oh, something's going wrong. There's got to be a spell for that. Hey, look, there it is.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Bonnie's relevance gets more involved as the book series continues, but I'm not reading past this first book. I'm sorry, guys. I just can't. Interestingly enough, Caroline gets into a fight with Elena over who gets to date and hit on Stefan first when Stefan gets into school on the first day, and throughout the entire book, Caroline is a stone-cold bitch, and you just don't like her at all. Like, she's mean, she's cunning, and, like, she stole Stefan from under Elena as, like, to a date as a dance. So it's just like, who is this? And this is not the Caroline that we know. It's so weird.
You know, I'm kind of glad they didn't go that way, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like the CW is already kind of known as, like, the teeny bopper drama, you know. And Vampire Diaries is that. But they have kind of steered clear of a lot of the, like, really terrible high school relationship, you know, stuff. Like, they've had, you know, vampire and human relationships and all of that drama, which is its own thing. But we've kind of steered clear of some of the stereotypical high school things, like, you know, head cheerleader and the football player and, oh my God, and, you know, like, we had that, mm-hmm. but it wasn't quite so stereotypical. And so I'm kind of glad they didn't make Caroline just evil.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's
She was mean, but she was mean with purpose.
Yeah, and in this one, she's just mean to get a boy, and it's just like, oh my goodness, you guys are crazy.
I kind of appreciated that they made her, like, crazy in her own way, though, because she was just kind of crazy anal retentive. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so she was just, like, crazy and annoying in the sense that she just needed to be the perfect, like, model girl. You know,
mm-hmm. and she always had to do projects and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and I think that is like a lot. That's a lot more relatable to like our generation, because I think we all have like that one person in high school that like you want to hate, but you like you can't really, because like all you can really hate them for is like being too perfect.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's like mm-hmm. Caroline is, and I think that's just so much more relatable and so much more realistic than like a backstabbing bitch. Like obviously those people do exist in high school, but when you see them on TV or even like in a movie, it's just so over the top dramatized that it's like, it's unreal, yeah. you know, to most people. So yeah, there's I guess like it things. Was like, they changed her for the better. Like they still made her kind of like hateable, but not in like the
exactly. You
grew
to love her. Like
mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. Like,
there's a lot of things in this book that are very stereotypical high school, which is, I think a lot of the reason that Julie Plec probably wanted to change it so much, because the changes that she made are all, like, literally all of them are good. There's not a single change that she made that was bad. And
go Julie Plec!
Yeah, it's crazy. and there's actually another best friend in the novel that's not in the series, and her name is Meredith, which is weird because there's a Meredith in the series who's a nurse or a doctor. But Meredith is one of Elena's best friends, and funnily enough, she is the TV Bonnie equivalent in the book. So she does nothing. She literally just runs around and screams with Elena. Like,
probably why Julie Plec cut her out. She was like, no one needs this.
Yeah, and it was so weird. But like, what's interesting is that she is olive skinned and dark haired, and so like she's more cultural than any of the other characters in the book. So it's really sad that they got rid of that type of character. Because I feel like that would have been more awesome to see more diversity on the show, other than just like a black girl and a couple of white people in the town and like Tyler, and you don't know what Tyler is because Tyler just looks weird. So, you know what I mean?
Ambiguous.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So that was interesting to see, like, that she noted that Meredith was, like, olive-skinned and dark-haired. Maybe I'm just saying that because I'm olive-skinned and dark-haired. I was like, oh, my sister, hey. No, but...
Well, in the book, it kind of makes it sound like she would be, like, ethnically ambiguous, you know what I mean? Because, like, Bonnie is, like, black, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
right.
She's a lighter-skinned black person, but still, like, you know, I'd say, like, Tyler is olive-skinned and dark-haired.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that, you know, it almost kind of sounds like they kind of merged, like, Julie Plec merged Meredith and Bonnie and created, like, you know, the Bonnie, the TV show.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. What's more interesting, I think one of the most interesting differences in the book and the novel is that Stefan and Damon are, like, they're Italian, clearly, because their last name is Salvatore, but, like, they were not born in the 1800s in America with a bloodline from Italy. In the novel, they're legitimately born in the 15th century in Florence, and they've never stepped foot in Fell's Church before. And Stefan just randomly decided to go to a small town to get back into the groove of being with people, because he's lived in the dark and he's lived during the nighttime for so many years that he decided to, like, kind of go back into society. So that was really interesting. It's like, they're legit 15th century people, and they all speak like they're from the 15th century, and it's really bad, because, like, you think they would have gotten grammar correctly by the time that they've grown up in the 21st century, but no.
I mean, not if he's been, like, living in a cellar for however many years. Clearly, LJ Smith, like, no offense to her, because obviously, you know, her brainchild is what sparked the series we're all talking about, but clearly she was not thinking this through, because I feel like, I mean, that would have made them, that makes them stick out like a sore thumb if you have, like, this prim and proper, like, 15th century gentleman.
Yes, they never, he never uses contractions. It's always cannot. I cannot do that, Elena.
I cannot do, like, that. Oh,
goodness. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
But, oh, like, it's interesting because they do flashbacks to the 1500s, and Stefan writes in his diaries, which, by the way, is just as cheesy, if not cheesier, than the first two episodes of Vampire Diaries, because it's, like, Elena and Stefan both writing in their diaries, hence Vampire Diaries, but, oh, my God, it's so bad.
I like the diaries. I know they're cheesy. I know it's cheesy in a very easy way to put feelings. Like, this is what I'm feeling. I'm going to tell you about it. But it's fun.
But,
why,
like,
not?
In the novels, like, whenever it's a diary entry, every other diary entry starts with, I think something bad is going to happen today. I can just feel it. Like, she just tells you what's going to happen. She doesn't show you or, like, do foreshadowing. You have a character straight out saying, something bad's going to happen. Oh,
that just sounds like Rick Riordan's, and I have a feeling I'm never going to see this person again. Or, like, he does that a lot, too.
And he, in his diary, Stefan talks about Catherine. And he talks about how different Catherine and Elena are. But they're different in a very different way than the show. Catherine is a kind soul and delicate. And Elena is the one who has more fire in her soul and is harder and stronger. There's a kindness in Catherine that Elena does not have, according to Stefan.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
So they're complete opposites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, if you took Catherine, the vampire, and put her in high school and turned her blonde, you'd have the Elena in the book.
Yeah, but even Catherine in the TV show is still not as vain as Elena. Yeah.
And, yeah. No, that's weird. I don't think I could handle Catherine not being, like, saucy and the fiery one.
Yeah, and she cries, like, twice in this book, Catherine does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Catherine never cries.
Yeah, I know,
you
know, right?
I know. This all makes sense because now it kind of, like, I mean, I guess they got around it on the show by, like, saying that they were so obsessed with her because she had compelled them, and that makes sense, you know what I mean? But it I don't know, it sounds more realistic for, like, Stefan to be obsessed with Catherine because she was so wonderful and so kind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I mean? Just going off of the character that we know, or I should say Kristen and I know, since we haven't read the books and you kind of have both now. But
yeah, it's so weird. Like, when they flashback to Catherine and Stefan, like, Catherine is, like, just this, like, really sweet little girl. And she's just, like, I mean, she's a vampire, but, like, and, like, she's playing both brothers, clearly. And Stefan thinks that he's the one. And, like, they have a scene where Catherine is forced to choose between Stefan and Damon back in the 15th century. And, like, she's like, no, we're just going to have, like, just all of us, we're just going to party together. It's going to be great. Just like the TV show. But then in the book, they, Stefan alludes to the fact that Damon and Stefan killed Catherine. And I don't understand how, but, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's very odd. But, it's, enough about Catherine. I don't like this book, Catherine. Stefan explains what the compelling ability is, and in the books, they're called power, with a capital P. Like, the power. He can sense the power around him, and he can send out his power to compel people to do what he wants. And it's so, so cheesy. Every single time he talks about using his power, he says, the power.
I'm pretty sure that would creep me out. Like, calling it the power would just sound like you're trying not to call it something else. Like,
it's so weird.
Standalone, I've got the power.
And, like, he probes around with it. He's like, I'm trying to probe around with my power to see who else is here.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. Oh, my God.
It's terrible.
I mean, compelling is a much better way to describe it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
congratulations, Julie Black.
I mean, it makes sense.
We'll take that out. Yeah.
Because, like, within the book, the stronger you are, the more powers and abilities you have, or, like, the stronger your power is. And so
wait, does, like, the letter P get bigger so that, you know, in the text? Like, how do you know who's the power is more powerful?
Oh, my God.
They should have done that. They should have, like, made the P bigger every single time Stefan got stronger.
It's all of a sudden, it was just, like, one page.
Giant P on the page. Turn the page, and the rest of the word hour is there.
And that's the end of the chapter.
And it's really weird, because, like, apparently, the, like, drinking human blood makes you stronger, which makes sense. But Damon has the ability to shapeshift, because apparently if you have enough power, you can shapeshift. And he shapeshifts into a crow, which is the reason why they had a freaking crow in the first episode of The Vampire Diaries watching Elena. And in the cemetery.
I thought that was Damon, though. Like, I just thought they went unexplained.
Yeah.
And that's without reading the book.
I kind of assumed the same thing, that it was Damon, but after they never really addressed it, I kind of assumed that he had found some way to compel the crow to, like, appear before he did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it just kind of meant that he was there, but you couldn't see him. And so he sent the crow in to freak you out.
Like, and it's really interesting, though, because I guess, like, Julie Plec was planning on having him, like, I don't know, transform, like, Animorphs. And then she was like, nope. We're not doing that.
Oh, so, wait, you're telling me Damon is an animagus?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Oh, that's perfect.
That would have been fun. I'm glad they didn't do that, though, because that can get old really fast, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we'd get really tired of Damon just showing up places, and there is, because he can.
There is fog in the book, too, so that makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it also, because, like, I don't know how, like, budgets work for, like, shows in the US, but I know, like, in the UK, whenever you have, like, pilots and stuff, the special effects are really, really bad because they don't give you a lot of money for the first season, you know, so if you could just imagine, mm-hmm. like, a really bad special effect, it just would make it so much cheesier than it already is, because it took me a while, actually, to get into Vampire Diaries as a viewer. Like, I wasn't really into it until, like, maybe the end of season one, so, like, I think that would have killed it. Like, I would have never finished watching it if it was just, like, this terrible transformation of Damon, like, turning into a crow.
Yeah, it would have been weird.
Watching his, like, chiseled jaw turn into a beak, like...
Yeah, and then he, like, shrinks down, like, slowly. It just, like, would...
No, it would be all bad.
Oh, man. It would.
And so, let's see, the difference is, Stefan does not drink human blood, and he never has. He always drank animal blood. So he never went through a ripper phase.
It's Carlisle!
Oh my goodness. Man. Exactly. This whole thing had a very Twilight feel.
Yeah, and, like, we should also just, like, to preface that, we know that the Vampire Diaries came before Twilight, so we don't get a bunch of emails about that. Like, we're perfectly aware.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
We just can't help but compare it.
I just wanted to avoid, like, the influx of people being like, you guys know that, you know, Vampire Diaries came before Twilight and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a story for another podcast.
I swear, I think Stephanie Myers must have, like, read these series, because there's a scene where there's a scene where Stefan is sitting behind Elena, and he's like trying so hard not to smell her, because it reminds me exactly like that scene in Twilight where film. He's like convulsing, like, oh yeah. God, like,
and then they have that weird music going in the background. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, Stefan can like barely be around Elena for the first part of the book.
Okay, it's... anyway, back to comparing Vampire Diaries.
But, like, so, like, it's Stefan, like, avoids Elena for, like, the better half of the book. And it's just like, oh, I don't want to be around her because she smells so good and I don't want to, like, hurt her and blah, blah, blah. But there's a dance that happens. And Tyler Lockwood, equivalent in the book, his name is Tyler Smallwood. Which is a horrible name.
Congrats on the name change, Julie. Yeah. I approve. Because that would have been so distracting.
Oh, right?
You would have thought about it every time they said his name.
Oh, hey, Smallwood. Like, oh, goodness. I can imagine.
Think about it now. Like,
right? Aww. Poor Tyler, anyway.
So there's a dance, and Elena is trying to ask Stefan out. She finds out that Stefan got asked out to the dance by Caroline, and Caroline has been all over him ever since Stefan got there. And so she's mad at Stefan, mad at Caroline, mad, like, at the world because she can't get this guy. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to dance with Tyler. And so she dances with Tyler, and Tyler and their friends, like, all dance together, and they're like, oh, let's get out of here. Let's, like, go to the cemetery because the cemetery is cool. And they decide to go out to the cemetery. They had this huge group of people, and as for some reason, I don't know why, but in the book, like, there was, like, four cars, and only two cars end up going to the cemetery, and they don't explain what happened to the other people that were supposed to go to the cemetery with them, but basically, it's Tyler and Elena, and Tyler's friend, and Tyler's friend's date, and Tyler's like, oh, Elena, come check this out, like, over here, and so they separate. And Tyler Lockwood, or sorry, Smallwood, basically tries to rape Elena because he wants her so bad. And the only reason that Elena is even talking to Stefan later on in the book is because Stefan can sense what's happening and saves Elena from Tyler Smallwood. And she doesn't press charges. She doesn't do anything. She's just like, and it's like the most ridiculous plot line in the entire book. And I almost put down the book right then and there.
So did they try to, like, replace this thing with the Damon attacking Matt's sister, Vicky?
Oh.
You remember?
Yes.
You remember that scene, though? Like, they're out in the woods at the bonfire thing.
Yes,
and
yes, yes, yes.
Damon attacks Vicky in the woods.
And you know, funnily enough, the character who went out on with Tyler's friend, her name was Vicky.
I'll bet you that Julie was kind of throwing a nod to the book by leaving that scene in there, but changing the players around major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Vicky also gets attacked, and she's just like, I swear I saw something, I don't know what it was. Ah. And
yeah.
Yeah, so that's exactly what they did.
It all makes sense now. We're
right?
Just, like, piecing it all together.
Oh, man. It's crazy. But, like, it pisses me off so much that Elena just, like, After Stefan beats Tyler up, like, Elena doesn't press charges or anything, like, and, like, he's suspended from the school for a couple weeks, but then he comes back, and I'm like, well, that's not right.
She's not a very strong, like, female lead, is she?
No.
In the books? Okay.
Not at all.
Maybe this explains Sonya's intense dislike for Tyler that she's never been able to place.
Oh, yeah. She secretly knew.
She just knew.
Oh, man. I'm so... And, like, I don't know how the rest of the books go, and I'm pretty sure, like, they have werewolves and stuff. And, like, they alluded to the fact that Tyler has, like, wolf-like features, which is ridiculous, because I swear that, like, foreshadowing is terrible. But it literally says, oh, Tyler Smallwood, and he's, like, wolf-like jaw. And, like, I'm like, really? Did you just use wolf-like? I don't know how they're going to end up making Tyler Smallwood in the books likable, or if they do end up make him likable in the rest of the series after he did that to Elena.
Well, I mean, the Tyler in the show didn't, like, attack Elena, but he was a giant, like, douche in the first couple seasons. Like,
oh, yeah.
I did not think they would ever redeem him, and I don't hate Tyler anymore. So, who knows? Maybe there's, maybe something comes up. I mean, this is a little bit worse than what he does in the show, but still. I'm sure there's probably some way that they...
I'm sure. I'm,
it's kind of a, he's still a womanizer in the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, that might have been, like, a little bit of a more subtle nod to, you know, what he does in the books, but... Because he pretty much is just, like, Vicky's in love with him, and he's just using her for sex, so...
Right, yeah.
It's a very subdued, you know...
It's amazing how little, like, and subtle these nods are to the book. Like, congrats to Julie Plec for, like, changing it so much, but still, like, doing little nods to the original storyline.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure the people who were huge fans of the book appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like, I'm sure they love seeing little things that it's like, oh, I remember, you know, like, it's a little different, but I remember that.
And I'm like, wondering if you guys who are listening to this, if you have read the entire series, just let us know, like, what the gigantic differences are that we're, like, missing out, or, like, how the rest of the series pans out, because it's so different, and... I know that there's a cure and there's vampire werewolves and stuff later on in the books, but we're wondering how far the show gets. And so the last thing that kind of really bugged me that I wanted to mention is that Elena tells Stefan that she loves him after, like, their second outing. Like the night that Stefan saves her from Tyler, actually, he takes her back to his place for some unknown reason. And she's just like, I love you. Like, can't you feel it? Like, isn't it okay that I love you? And, like, I'm like, girl, you just met him. Like, you don't even know who he is. You don't even know he's a vampire. Like, what the hell?
It's like, come on. Get a backbone. I always have a thing for when characters fall in love that quickly. It always kind of gets me. But, I mean, she fell quickly in the show, too, so...
Yeah, you know. But, like, it was, it, I don't know, it seemed more balanced in the show, whereas in the episodes, or in the books, like, the second she saw him, she was, like, obsessed. Like, straight out obsessed. Oh, I must have him. And that's why she broke up with Matt. It's because she's like, oh, we're better as friends, and I want you to help me get Stefan. Like,
aww, poor
yeah,
Matt.
I know. Like, she pawned to Matt into helping her get Stefan. And it's just like, oh, you poor thing.
So I have a question, though. Are her parents dead in the book in the same way that they died in the series? And is that why she hasn't been around for a while? Or did she just, like, go away to some, like, vain cheerleader boot camp? Like, excursion?
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Her parents are definitely dead. There's this part in the very first chapter of the book, like, the first couple pages, where she's like, coming home from vacation, I think, with Aunt Judith and Margaret, and, like, they were apparently off to the French Riviera, or Rivera, okay. Whatever.
Sounds more like Book Elena, from what I read in, like, the 20 pages I got.
Yeah, she went off to the French Riviera, and one of her friends was like, why didn't you get tan? She's like, you know me, I don't tan, God. And she was like, oh, you should see pictures of Jean-Claude, I met him in the Riviera, he's so handsome. Like,
oh, God.
It's so bad. But her parents did die, and I think... It's not explained in the series at all, but I think what happened is, like, her parents died, and then to, like, help Elena get her mind off things, her aunt took her to the French Riviera. Is it Riviera or Riviera? Someone's going to yell at me.
Riviera.
Okay.
It's Riviera. It's the French Riviera. Does the council play as big a role in the books as it does in the show?
The council does not make an appearance at all in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whatsoever.
Because, like, that kind of was the... big, bad, I mean, Damon and the council were kind of the two external forces, you know, causing havoc in the first season, so that's kind of weird.
Basically, what this book is it's all about Elena meeting Stefan and, like, finding out what Stefan is towards, like, the middle end of the book, and then there are, like, animal attacks, and, like, Stefan is trying, he ends up feeding on a couple of people. Because he gets so hungry, and he's like, the powers are subduing me, I have to eat, And he ends up hospitalizing a couple of people and almost killing someone, and he's like, I didn't do that, I swear, the powers made me do it. But it was actually Damon who made him do it. And so the book is about him discovering that Damon is also in the town, and then Damon appears and starts antagonizing Elena and going like, oh, you're gonna want me, you're not gonna want him. And then it ends. That's it.
It's nice to know that Damon didn't change.
Yeah, right? Damon is exactly the same. He is just as mysterious and dark and brooding and hot as he is in the show.
It helps that you can picture Ian Somerhalder.
Oh, I know. That's what I was picturing the entire time. Except for the crow turning into a vampire part. I skipped that in my head.
Yeah.
But that is basically, like, all of the differences that I could remember between the pilot and the first book of Vampire Diaries. It's so bad, guys.
And I'm sure that people who read before, you know, probably like the books for what they are. But, you know, it's hard when you've watched the show and fallen in love with the show to, like, look back at it and be like, oh, these changes are fine. Like, I don't mind that it's completely different and Elena is a totally different character. Like, that's really hard.
I feel really bad for the people who've read the books and love them and then got onto the series and was just like, what is this?
I would be interested to know if someone who's read the books watches the series and likes it, like, as its own separate entity, or doesn't mind that, you know, that Elena is a completely different person in two.
Like, I guess one of the pros is that, like, you'll never know what twists are coming in the show, because even though you know what's in the book, you have no idea what they're going to do in the show.
True. I mean, that would be fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. The same characters, but you're seeing them in a totally different way.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, I think I could see how it could be hard for somebody who was, like, really into the books to, like, see the TV show and just kind of hate it because it's so changed. I mean, like, you know, we're all fans of, like, other things outside of here. The big thing that comes to mind is, like, Harry Potter, you know? It's like anytime anything is even minorly changed, it's like, oh, my God, like, why would you do that, you know? So I could totally see how somebody could just hate the TV show because it's so different.
I totally... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, but it is nice because it's, like, because you can tell that, like, Julie Puck, like, really made it her own, it almost, like, they stand alone as two different entities, and it's not just, like, they changed, like, tiny little things or took things out, you know what I mean? Like, she almost completely revamped it all.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I can't imagine if someone tried to make a Harry Potter TV series and took their names and, you know, like, changed it a little bit and made Harry, like, this dashing, like...
Yeah. Like, Harry was blonde and buff.
Right.
Oh, God.
Like, it would freak me out. I don't know if I could...
And there was no Ron and just a Hermione.
And Hermione's, like, really geeky, but she doesn't really know anything. She's I think we can do this.
And she's awesome at Quidditch. Just for the heck of it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And Draco's like a goody two shoes. Oh my
Draco's
goodness.
Draco's a girl.
Oh goodness.
Oh man.
I'm just thinking of Daytona now.
That
I'm like,
would be really weird.
Goodness.
Yeah, so.
So I'm sorry for all you people who were Vampire Diaries books fans before the show, because I don't think I could have stuck through it.
Yeah.
Congrats to you.
Yeah, congrats to you, seriously.
Definitely, like, write in or, like, leave us comments in the show notes and, like, kind of let us know if you've read the books and also watched the TV show, like, what your initial thoughts were and, like, if you're okay with all the changes and why or why not. And tell us how the rest of the books go, because while I commend Kyle for getting through the first one, because I never could, I'm sure that he's probably not going to continue. So
we're
still interested.
I can't.
You know?
Every single time I read the line, it feels like something terrible is going to happen tonight. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm
like, does Elena get better? Like, does she get more likable?
Yeah.
Tell us. Like, let us know.
Please, let us know. And tell us how the hell they redeem Tyler, if they do. Because that's interesting.
And feel free to tell us if Damon does anything incredibly awesome that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if Damon's amazing, we want to know about it.
So that's it about the differences. And I guess now we're just going to talk about the news, because we only have a couple of days left until the series premieres. But there's been so much news about, like, spoilers and stuff about the new season. So if you guys don't want spoilers, we're going to talk about a couple of casting things and Just a couple of spoilerly tidbits. So now's your time to bow out. If you guys want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/vampirehype. You can email us at vampirehypepodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on any of the vampire-related news stories on hypable.com. That's hypable.com. So now onto the news. There's this one set of spoilers that I got really excited about, because on the headline it's there, it says a threesome is happening, and I'm just like, what? So granted, you know, me being me, I'm taking a look at the spoilers right now, and looking ahead to the premiere that airs this Thursday, within the first 5 minutes there's gonna be a threesome and a champagne filled evening that does not leave the bedroom, and I'm just wondering who it is. Like, I don't think Elena would do a threesome. I know Damon would, but I don't, like, what do you guys think?
Ever since I read this spoiler, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, but every time I see the headline somewhere, in my alerts and whatnot, I think about it and I'm like, it can't be Elena and Damon. Like, no, Damon's been trying for so long to get Elena, and just Elena. Like, that's all he's wanted. I can't imagine he would be like...
Like, possess Stefan, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, two other randoms. It probably will be.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
I wonder if it's in, like, a dream state or something.
Maybe it's Stefan... Oh, no.
Silas Stefan?
Silas Stefan. Yeah, maybe it's Silas Stefan just... getting it on with a couple of people, because he was like, yeah, living the life at Stefan Salvatore.
I could see that more than I could. I don't know. Or you're right, it is like in a dream.
I can totally imagine Stefan, like, imagining having his girlfriend back, but then I don't understand why he would imagine that and then also imagine a threesome.
How weird would it be if it was like Damon imagining a threesome with Elena and Catherine?
Oh, weird. My goodness.
Oh, my God. Poor Nina Dobrev.
I know. They'd be like, yeah, do the same thing you did, but on the other side.
That would be so awkward.
And we're going to give you bigger hair. Ready?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's all bad. I know. And then, like, the other spoiler isn't kind of, like, a spoilery thing, but, like, there are going to be bubble baths. Ooh, okay.
Bubble baths.
Right?
Bubble baths.
We already know from one of the clips that Elena and Damon are going to be taking a bubble bath together, so.
Which is, it's just fitting, because we've spent time in Damon's bathroom.
Oh, I know. He loves those bubble baths. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, yeah, like, who doesn't love bubble baths, you know?
It feels like Damon Salvatore is, like, just getting ready every night with, like, a bath bomb and some bubble
bath bomb.
And then the third spoiler is that there are going to be multiple deaths in the episode. So, what's interesting is that both deaths are going to carry weight that will be felt for much of the season. So I'm wondering who in the hell is going to die now. Like,
I don't know.
Like, cause Bonnie's already dead. Jeremy came back from the dead. Stefan is almost dead in the, like, what is going to happen? I don't understand.
You can't kill Matt. So who's dying?
Right? Goodness. And it better not be
Caroline. What if it's Caroline and Tyler?
It makes me worry for Caroline's mom.
Oh, no. It better not be Caroline's mom.
Because she's almost died so many times. It just... And I could see that affecting Caroline.
Oh, too many people talking at once. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. I was just going to say, maybe it is Caroline. You're right, because she's kind of due to die. It sounds so bad, but... She has treated death one too many times.
I know.
Well, and the actress, isn't she writing for the originals now?
Oh, the actress who plays Caroline's mom is writing for the originals?
I believe she's on the writing team for the originals.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I saw it on Twitter that she's a part of the writing team. And you know, that would explain why I think that tweet disappeared. Interesting.
Ooh, okay. Oh. We'll go with that.
Okay.
I'm really sad, though, because I love Sheriff Forbes, but, like, that it could be a possibility. I don't know.
It's time to make this, you know, secret circle, like, and have everyone lose a parent. Like, everyone. Well, another spoiler is that Damon is going to be responsible for once, which isn't that much of a spoiler, but I'm excited to see him protect Jeremy, because that's what is rumored, that he is going to have to protect Jeremy back when he gets to school, because everyone thinks he's dead, and apparently in the trailer, Jeremy gets in a fight, so maybe Damon's, like, breaking up the fight as a big old brother type deal.
Aww. We're going to see cute protective Damon.
I feel like that's going to get old really fast because Jeremy's going to be like, I'm not a baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, and probably.
It's going to be the same old plot line that they did when they were trying to train Jeremy to kill vampires.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
unless Jeremy and Damon is like the new bromance.
Oh, I actually would like it. That a lot.
That'd be cute he lost, Alaric, yeah. That was so cute because they were such good friends.
I know.
And Jeremy needs friends.
Jeremy needs need a friend.
Oh my goodness. His only friend is his dead girlfriend. I feel like that's not enough.
And yeah. A little bit Matt, but not really.
I know. Matt and Jeremy don't ever, like, they never talked as much, I feel. Oh, Jeremy was
like
dead.
Dating his sister for, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Well, that's interesting. I'm hoping to see that blossom. In another bit of news, we have actor Sean Sipos, who is best known for his role on Melrose Place and Life Unexpected. He's going to play Aaron, who bonds with Elena and is described as Elena's new best friend, which is a little troubling for Caroline, because I'm like, isn't Caroline your best friend? And he also poses a threat as like being this like potential love interest type thing, and I'm like, we don't need no more men in the show, guys. We really don't.
Yeah.
I just
the
don't.
The whole more men thing, like, do we really need more, that many more hot boys? I know. We love
yes.
them. We love all of them. And always. We have lost a few. I mean,
Alaric's gone. At least they brought Jeremy back.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And may
that.
Cole rest in peace.
I know. Come on, Cole. Dang it.
And I mean, Cole was British. See, they need a hot British guy.
Yeah, they do need a hot British guy.
But I mean, I guess if they're going away to college, you can't not introduce new boys, I guess. That's like, true. It's one of those things, away at college, like, that's, yeah.
The most frustrating thing, though, is, like, there are boys for, like, these girls who already have, like, ships beyond counting. Like, with Caroline getting a new boyfriend, too, since Tyler's... Like, Tyler just got back to town, but Caroline is going to meet Jesse and have a new love interest herself. And I'm like, she already has Klaus, and she has Tyler. She doesn't need Jesse as well. Like, what are we going to call that? Claressy? Geraldine? Like, I don't like it.
Well, in their defense, I mean, you can't really give Bonnie love interest at this point, because no. She's dead. And Elena's happy with Damon, so, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, I hate to say it, but Elena is just, it just makes more sense for there to be controversy,
yeah.
You know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
on her front, so I could see them maybe, like, well, maybe that's why they need a new boy, because Elena's going to be smitten. She's going to be like, Damon, I think I need to play the field, and then Damon's going to be all brooding and, like, you know, rinse, repeat.
Aww.
It would be really interesting to see for, like, a few episodes, Elena vying after a different guy that's not Damon or Stefan. I feel like that would be kind of interesting.
I know that many, many viewers would probably be happy to see that. I know Delana fans are saying, no!
I know, Delana fans need right their now. Time in the sun, man.
Because it's like, dang it, we finally have our time. Like, come on. Yeah. And I know they'll have some, like, it's not going to disappear immediately. And I don't think we're going to have another Sire Bond hijinks ensue. But, yeah, I'm sure there will be extenuating circumstances that kind of pull them, you know, apart and push them back together and pull them apart. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, I like that's what makes me really excited for the originals, actually, is that, like, Julie Plec has said on multiple occasions that family powers the original, whereas romance powers the Vampire Diaries, so I'm, like, really excited to see how the originals, in comparison, is all about family and, like, family ties and, like, maybe alliances that family members will make, and not, like, who's sleeping with who and who's gonna be whose boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, I mean, like, I love the Vampire Diaries so much, but, like, there's only so much different, so many different ships one can hop on before getting tired and eventually getting scurvy.
But,
I know, I had to. That was...
yeah.
But that's it for the news. Like, I mean, there's a whole bunch of, like, different news articles if you guys want to check out the Vampire Diaries category on Hypeable, but most of them just talk about characters teasing their new love interests and stuff going on behind the scenes and, like, with love like that. So, just wait, like, 4 or 5 more days and you'll see it live on your TV. And that's it for the news, and we have one more thing before we leave you guys, and that's to tell you what shows we're going to be covering this fall. Now, we've talked a lot about the originals and Dracula throughout our, like, week-to-week episodes of Vampire Hype, and so we're officially announcing that we're going to cover the originals and the Vampire Diaries weekly. So, when a new episode comes out on the originals and Vampire Diaries, we'll have one episode of Vampire Hype that will talk about both of them. Much like this podcast previously did when we were the Secret Diaries, or when they were the Secret Diaries, because I wasn't here back then. We'll talk about probably the Vampire Diaries first, and then you can skip ahead an hour if you don't want to listen to that, and listen to the originals discussion afterwards. And speaking of Dracula, we don't necessarily know if we'll have time to do weekly coverage of Dracula, just because all of us at Hypeable have full-time jobs or are going to school. So what we will do is we'll try to get in a little bit of Dracula every now and then, and we'll try to see if we can get an episode discussing the pilot premiere, which premieres on October 25th at 10 p.m. on the NBC network. So I almost said the CW. Woo.
But, and I think the Dracula coverage will probably also be determined by, like, interest. Like, if the show is really great and it sticks around, then maybe we'll be able to work in some more time for it later or something. But, you know, if it kind of bombs and they cancel it after 4 episodes, then, you know, there's nothing really left to cover. So it'll just kind of grow. We'll see what goes on.
And you guys don't have to worry about not getting news for it, because Hypeable as a site will still be covering it. So you'll still be able to get your promotional photos and stuff like that and talk about it on Hypeable, but we won't be able to discuss it every week on Vampire Hype. But
that is a good plug for our Vampire Hype Twitter, though, because, you know, we also tweet all vampire related goodness through that. So if you guys want to follow us at Vampire Hype, all one word on Twitter, you will never miss a single news story in regards to Dracula or Vampire Diaries or the originals or even the rare Twilight story.
Yeah, there's still, you know, some of those.
Yeah,
they do exist.
They do. Buffy. What is that? True Blood. We cover it all on there. So definitely give us a follow if you're not already.
And with that, we are off. So, I'm Kyle.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Pamela.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.